Welcome to Will I Ever Learn Chinese? I'm Jeanette Seikel. In this episode, I'm looking at the notion of fluency. What is it? Does it make sense to talk about fluency? Or is there maybe another way to look at speaking a language coherently? When I first moved from beginner to intermediate, I had this constant feeling of not quite getting there. Now, as I was able to speak more coherently, it was a bit the opposite. I sometimes felt on top of the world. I was able to talk more, and I was able to talk without constantly stopping and looking for specific words. Well, at least on some days. Other days were really not so great, and I would struggle to string together a sentence. Was I actually ever going to be fluent? Well, what is fluency and how do we measure it? Does it mean you can speak a language without great difficulty, you can get by and enjoy yourself? Or does it mean you have to be native-like, you have to speak a language really well? After almost a year of learning Chinese, I was keen to see how far I had gotten. I was certainly able to speak the language and maintain a conversation about a range of topics entirely in Chinese, but I would sometimes stumble over words, not know what to say, and get stuck. And I was still learning so much. There was still so much I hadn't learned yet, and I was quite aware of that. And crucially, my different macro skills in Chinese were not quite the same either, so I was able to understand the spoken language quite well, due to all of that time I spent watching television and listening to podcasts. But sometimes I still struggled with very fast speech, especially with accented speech, and I found it quite difficult to understand. I was able to speak, but as I said, not always as well as I thought I would, and definitely not as well as I was now understanding the language. And when it came to reading and writing, there was still a long way to go. So I was able to read more. I was also able to figure out what some characters meant that I hadn't previously learned or wasn't quite so aware of yet. But despite this, my writing was not necessarily great. When it came to writing, I was okay at writing text messages without great difficulty because of the predictive text feature on my phone and on my computer. So my electronic writing was okay, and I could recognize characters by their overall shape. But when I tried to do handwriting, oh dear, I could not always remember the exact details of each character, and I had to look up each of the characters individually to be absolutely certain that I was writing them correctly. This was very interesting because later on I realized that some of my Chinese friends actually had the same problem. With mobile phones and computers, so electronic writing being so pervasive these days, people use less and less handwriting and sometimes really struggle to understand and know how some of those characters are written. But let's come back to proficiency and so-called fluency, which is the topic of this episode. Linguists sometimes distinguish a speaker's proficiency at the different levels of the macro skills, and my proficiency in terms of understanding was definitely much higher than that of speaking, and certainly higher than that of reading and writing. So by looking at these skills separately, we can tease out what a learner is good at. With respect to understanding, my Chinese was quite advanced after just about a year, and speaking was certainly at an upper intermediate level, but I was always slightly behind. I wanted to get better at speaking, and I wanted to improve my fluency. But what is fluency? I mean, in everyday speech, we seem to use this term, and people seem to throw it about. But it turns out that people have quite different definitions of what fluency means. Fluent is an adjective which means to flow, so it means does not stop. So surely this would mean that when speaking, you're speaking in such a way that the language is natural, there aren't too many interruptions. This is actually how I've always understood the concept, but I realized that there were various different perspectives on this. And people would not always agree what was fluent and what wasn't. Some people think fluent means native, like knowing pretty much all vocabulary and the like. I followed a discussion on social media a short while ago where someone had claimed to be fluent in a language after a few years of language classes. He was able to speak the language coherently, but there was still a lot of the vocabulary that he didn't know yet. Quite a few of the commentators criticized him for using the term fluent in this way, and they said that he could not possibly be fluent after a few years of attending language classes. They imagined a scenario where he had to help someone in a medical emergency, and in that situation, claiming that he was fluent in the language could be a case of life and death. For example, if he would have to help out in a hospital in a situation where he needed to know quite specialist medical vocabulary. I have discussed fluency with other professionals, with linguists, and it again turns out that there are quite a few different viewpoints of the issue. While some linguists would look at coherent, uninterrupted speech as an indicator, others would place the bar much higher. But there is help at hand here, because language professionals usually take a more nuanced view on fluency, and there are ways of describing the linguistic abilities of learners, and these are through so-called descriptors of language proficiency. In Europe, for example, we have what is called the Common European Framework for Reference of Languages, CEFR in short. It sets out 6 levels of proficiency, divided into the categories basic user, which would be A, independent user, which would be B, and proficient user, which would be C. So roughly, this corresponds to beginner, intermediate, and advanced levels. The basic user levels are referred to as A1 and A2, and A1 means it's very basic, the very basic proficiency, being able to understand a few words and so on, and A2 is a slightly more advanced level. The intermediate categories B1 and B2 are then again referring to speakers who are slightly better, who are able to use and understand the language, and C1 and C2, well, those are the much more proficient levels. The levels where a learner is able to speak and understand the language. Each level has very clearly defined targets and skills that can be looked at generically, as well as being set out for each of the European languages. Learners can be evaluated on the basis of these descriptors. Typically, to study at a university, you need at least B2 proficiency, so what we could call advanced intermediate proficiency. In some cases, for example, if you wanted to study for a PhD, you needed to have advanced proficiency at the level of C1. CEFR is widely used in Europe, and I've seen it referred to in many other parts of the world, using it for languages for which there initially aren't these descriptors set out. Mandarin Chinese has other ways of measuring proficiency, so while we can talk about A1, C2, and so on with respect to Mandarin, there are ways in which Mandarin can be tested. And again, this differs on where you do this. There is a different test in Taiwan to mainland China, for example. But in mainland China, the use of the language test and the descriptors is HSK, which stands for Hanyu Shuiping Kaoshi, which means the Chinese language level test. And in its latest installment, it's divided into 9 different levels. Originally, it was just 6, but now another 3 categories have been added to capture those learners that have reached a very high level of understanding and use of the language, as, for example, needed for academic research. We're now firmly back in the test territory, which I had decided was not very useful. But thinking about language proficiency in these levels was actually quite good when looking at the language from the outside, when trying to explain how good your level was in a specific language. For the learner, though, internally, it didn't necessarily make much sense. I felt like I was improving daily, and to me at this stage, it didn't matter so much what the exact descriptors were of my linguistic abilities of Chinese. I felt like I needed to improve my spoken language. I needed to improve a lot of different ways of what I was doing. But when it comes to presenting your language skills to outsiders, the descriptors can be really useful. So, for example, on a CV, you can write that you speak certain languages to a certain level, and that then gives the evaluators an idea of which languages you could use in which environments, for example. So listing a lot of languages at A1, the very basic level of proficiency, may make it look amazing on your CV that you know a lot of languages. But for those people in the know, we'll know that this means you've dipped in and out of languages. And if I were to list all the languages I knew at A1, I would have a very long list. But when it gets higher up the levels, when we look at B1, B2, and then C1 and C2, there will be fewer and fewer of them. So here we can come back to this question of how many languages do you speak? When I say that I've learned and I've worked on more than 50 languages, most of these will be at A1, or I may already have forgotten them and there may be no such level anymore, but I've worked on them or I learned them in the past. The languages that I speak at C2 level, so the very highest level, are actually not very many. There's English, because I use it in my daily life. There's German, which is my native language. And there's Danish, because it was my main language for a long time. I spoke it daily and I spoke it to a native-like level. Languages I speak at C1 level, there are a number, but these go in and out, and I will explore this in a coming episode, namely the idea of language attrition, that while you may speak a language very well at one point, you may not speak it so well at another point when you haven't used it for a while. So C1, I would consider quite carefully which languages I listed, depending on what I was going to convey and whether it was important that I was absolutely precise and accurate about my current linguistic abilities in that situation. But B2, there would be a fair few languages that I would list there, so at the advanced intermediate level. And I was now moving into that level with my Chinese abilities, maybe still lagging behind some of the European, more familiar languages like Spanish and Portuguese, that when I didn't know a word, I could just find a word from another language or describe things in other ways. In Chinese, I couldn't always do that. But Chinese was getting to the level where I was relatively comfortable. I just needed to work on my fluency, or let's call it coherent conversation skills. Because always stopping and starting when having a conversation with someone isn't great. And I wanted to do something about this. I wanted to develop coherent, uninterrupted speech. I'm going to look at how I did that in the next episode.